on to chapter 2, verse 6. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you have taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the basic principles of this world, rather than on Christ. For in Christ all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and you have been given fullness in Christ, who is the head over every power and authority. In him you are also circumcised, in the putting off of the sinful nature, not with a circumcision done by the hands of men, but with the circumcision done by Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, and raised with him through your faith in the power of God, who raised him from the dead. Thank you.
Thanks, Marilyn. Morning, everybody. Good to see you, particularly if you're here for the first time. Very warm welcome to you. It's good to see you. Let's also to mention, actually, we have lunch available afterwards, so feel free to stay for that, even if you haven't planned to. You'd be really welcome. And then, again, for those who want to hang around, at 1:30 we have our second service. We're continuing to reflect on life in the modern world, and Ben's going to help us with that. Let me pray. Father, we want to ask that you would be at work amongst us now. By your Holy Spirit, we pray that you would speak to us. We need your word, Lord. So may, by your Spirit, that word do deep work in our hearts and minds, we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. When I was growing up, and this will age me slightly, one of my favourite TV programmes to watch was something called The Krypton Factor. Knowing laughs from those in their 40s and 50s there, but basically it aimed to find the complete all-rounder. So there was a round called mental agility, where you had to do sort of various number and word exercises, an intelligence test, which was about 3D puzzles, which seems to me to have nothing to do with intelligence, but anyway, general knowledge, and then there was the assault course. It was a kind of army assault course, where you had to kind of crawl through drain pipes, under scramble nets, over a wall, sort of great zip wire, I think, at the end. And it was always quite amusing because you found those who were sort of brilliant at putting 3D puzzles together being absolutely hopeless at getting over walls. And you saw them really struggling and sort of desperately holding on to the zip wire and so on. But I've always thought that an assault course isn't a bad image of life. You know, the various challenges that you have to work through at different stages. You know, maybe life as a teenager, and maybe you're wanting to live as a Christian, and you're aware you're the only Christian in your year, and well, that feels a bit like going under a scramble net. Or then perhaps you leave home and you have to form your own identity. And again, how are you going to decide how you will live? Well, that feels a bit like sort of trying to get over a wall. And then you reach sort of later on in life and you have the challenges perhaps of marriage and parenting, or indeed the challenges of being single. And those can be tough. You know, the sacrifice that's required as you're married to somebody, or just the challenge that there can be of being single. And maybe that feels like sort of trying to get over a great rope ladder. And then you have midlife, which I'm discovering, where you have the sort of pressure of perhaps caring for elderly parents, and you have increased responsibility, but you're aware you're slightly slowing down. And then finally, there's the zip wire of old age, with all those challenges to live through. It does feel a bit like an assault course, doesn't it, at times, life? And that's without the unknown things that just get lobbed in, the things that aren't expected that just arrive on our plate. How do you cope with life? Or here's the question we've been looking at over the last 2 or 3 weeks. How do we please God during the assault course of life? How do we please the Lord? You see, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, with the exception of the church weekend last weekend, we've been working our way really slowly, actually, through parts of Colossians chapter 1, Often as a church, we'll work through a whole book of the Bible. This term, we're just slowing right down. And we're doing a four-part series looking at the descriptions that Paul gives of a life pleasing the Lord in Colossians 1. You know, Paul prays that the Colossians will be filled with the knowledge of God's will so that they might please the Lord. So that as they live, there might be the Lord's smile on them. And he notes four ways in which that's the case. We've already considered bearing fruit in every good work. We thought about growing in the knowledge of God. And this morning we're just going to look at verse 11. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. And here we're thinking, what does it mean to please the Lord? We please the Lord as we endure. We please the Lord as we keep going. We please the Lord by our endurance. That's the first thing we're going to see. Enduring patiently. Keeping going. Putting one foot in front of the other. Being patient, realizing we're not in a sprint, but in a marathon. I mean, endurance, it's one of those words that implies a sense of battle, isn't it? You know, we've mentioned the sort of assault course of life, just with the challenges that are true for most human beings. And then there are the battles to face that are distinctively Christian. Just the things that will threaten our ability to keep going. There are actually three that come up in Colossians. Paul will talk about the reality of suffering. You know, he talks about his own experience in chapter 1, where he talks about filling up in his flesh what is lacking in regard to Christ's afflictions. And Paul's point is this, it isn't that there's any lack in what Jesus has done, but for the gospel to go out, the message of Jesus to go out, will involve suffering, will involve affliction. There will be suffering that will be part of the Christian life. Earlier this week, I got together with a group of friends, fellow pastors. And I remember one of us just, it wasn't me actually, one of them just talking about life over the last 12 months. His brother, similar age to me, dying. Talked about his best friend in the church having a stroke, which totally changed this guy's personality such that actually they really struggled to have a relationship anymore. A fellow leader who had to resign from the church in pretty tragic circumstances. And in the midst of that, trying to lead a church through that process. And my friend was saying to me, gosh, it's been quite hard to keep going. And it is at times, isn't it? Some of you will empathize with that. You know, different things that have faced you over the last year. And there's suffering. And sometimes before it happens, we can sing our songs saying, you know, we want to make great sacrifices for the Lord. And yet, of course, in the reality of it, it's deeply painful. Suffering. Or actually, there are other challenges which can make it difficult to endure. There's the challenge of false teaching, actually. That's a big one in Colossians. So part of the passage Marilyn read, Colossians 2 verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual force of this world, rather than on Christ. And actually, one of the challenges for keeping going and persevering is just holding on to the truth, rather than being led astray into error so that we're no longer on the right path. Now, in the New Testament, those false teaching, it comes up in a variety of ways. Sometimes it's to do with Christian ethics, people saying something is good, which the Bible says is wrong. In Colossians, actually, the false teaching is this. It's anything that moves away from Jesus being center stage. Of Jesus being the one we're obsessed by, captivated by. Think about it, that is quite a subtle danger. Do you ever get to the place where you're living as a Christian yet not really thinking about Jesus at all? It's actually very easy. Yeah, because we're caught up with, I don't know, what's going on in church. Or we're caught up with a particular ethical battle. Or we're caught up with activities, stuff we need to do. And all the time, actually, we've lost that centrality of Jesus. That's the particular danger in Colossae. And again, it means it can be a threat to our perseverance when we've lost sight of who Jesus is and all that he should mean to us. Or then there's the battle with, well, you know, sin and the sinful nature. Well, again, Paul will talk in Colossians 3:5 about putting to death whatever belongs to our earthly nature. And in Colossians 3, there's a list that includes things like sexual impurity, evil desires. It'll include things like anger, rage, malice, filthy language, and so on. And that's going to be a battle for all of us. You know, for all of us, there will be temptations to sin. Other things that we perhaps begin to find more attractive than Jesus. And probably at different stages in our life, there'll be different temptations. And so as you put all these things together, you can sense the assault course, can't you? Whether it's suffering, whether it's just images of the Christian life getting skewed in a wrong direction, whether it's the battles with temptation. And in the midst of that, the great cry of Colossians is this: you will please the Lord as you keep going, as you endure, as you keep running the race. Again, it's what Paul will say in this letter. We saw a couple of weeks ago the difference the gospel makes, where Paul says in Colossians 1 verse 21, you were God's enemies, by the cross you've been reconciled, made God's friends. But we didn't mention verse 23, if you continue in your faith, established and firm, and don't move from the hope held out in the gospel. Or again, in Colossians 2, just as you receive Christ Jesus, Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him. And there's a sense if you're joined to Jesus, keep on walking with him. Or actually rooted and built up in him is an architectural picture. I don't know anything about architecture, as you'll know, but basically I think buildings need foundations. Is that right? Buildings need foundations? Excellent. And my general sense is that if you put a foundation down, you don't then build the building in a different place. Is that right? You've got the foundations and you build the building off the foundation. And it's basically saying you're joined to Jesus, persevere in him, continue in him, live out your life as somebody joined to Jesus. And so the call is this: we please the Lord as we endure, as we continue. Joined to him, we continue in him. Now, if you think about it, it is quite encouraging that even our very perseverance pleases the Lord. I was just chatting to my mate this week, and he was saying, you know, I'm just tired, all that we've been through, and I'm just really struggling to get out of bed as I should in the morning, and I'm just struggling to do this sort of great project that I thought we should do as a church. And to be honest, I just said to him, look, the very fact that you're still going pleases the Lord. You're just your very endurance. Just the very fact that you're wanting still to live for him. Your very endurance pleases God. I think that's such good news, actually. It's what you see when Jesus addresses those churches. Revelation 2 and 3 writes to seven churches, many of them facing tough times. I think it's in 5 of the 7 letters he commends those churches simply for their patient endurance. You're still going. You're still putting one foot in front of the other. According to Colossians 1, simply as the Colossians endure and keep going in the midst of all of these things, the Lord is pleased. You know, the Lord sees when we're the only Christian in our class at school, and yet we're still trying to live in line with what he wants. He sees that. He's pleased with it. The Lord sees when we're going through deep suffering and deep pain, and yet we're still wanting to honor him, and he's pleased. The Lord sees the painful temptation that we're going through that perhaps nobody else knows about. And yet we're battling and we're fighting. And when we fall, we pick ourselves up and we start again and we're enduring. And the Lord is pleased with that. You've heard me quote this before, I think, if you've been around a while. I've always loved this line in C.S. Lewis's book, The Screwtape Letters. Letters written from a senior devil to a junior devil, trying to get Christians to be led astray. And he writes this, "Do not be deceived, Wormwood. Our cause is never more in danger than when a human, no longer desiring but still intending to do our enemy's will, looks round upon a universe from which every trace of him seems to have vanished, asks why he's been forsaken and still obeys." Do you see what he's saying? A Christian who just looks at the world and there's so much suffering going on, so much suffering in their own life, and they don't know what God is doing, and yet they still persevere. Oh, the Lord is pleased with that. The Lord is pleased with that perseverance. One of the greatest privileges of being a pastor is knowing what some of you go through and standing here and seeing you praise the Lord and still enduring and still keeping going. And if I'm pleased with that, well, how much more the Lord? Because Colossians 1 tells us that our very endurance is pleasing to him. I was reflecting this week, just the encouragement that it is to see people get to the end, to get to the finishing line. We've thought about John in the service already, and actually it took me back to Ismay and Jan and Muriel and others who just got to the end. And in as much as they were getting to the end, and at the end of their life were still wanting to live for God, that's pleasing to him. And given that it was pleasing to him, we can be assured they received that well done, good and faithful servant. In as much as they get to the end. Endurance. Feels like such a small thing, doesn't it? And yet is pleasing to God. Which means we do want to do a bit of thinking. How is it that we endure? How is it that we keep running the race? Now, wonderfully, we'll see right towards the end that it isn't all down to us. But nevertheless, there are biblical commands that Christians are to endure. You find it actually all the way through Revelation, where in Revelation you do have hostile world powers making their way across the globe, causing death and destruction. You find it all the way through Revelation. And in the midst of that, you'll find a phrase like, this calls for patient endurance amongst God's people. We're called to endure. And probably it's worth reflecting for all of us. What are the battles I'm going to need to fight in order to keep going? You know, maybe it is the midst of suffering, and we're going to have to say, I'm going to need to fight not to be bitter, but to keep trusting the Lord. I think, frankly, for some of us, the danger to our endurance will be that we will cram our lives so full of stuff that Jesus gets driven out. And actually, there's so much going on, perhaps so many things that take our time, so that church just becomes less and less and less of a priority, so it's no longer even there. And we'll need to ask the question, what is going to be my danger in me enduring? What do I need to put in place to keep running the race? Above all, Colossians is saying, you're going to need to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Since you've been raised with Christ, set your heart and mind on things above where Christ is. Continue in him. It is that radical Jesus-centeredness that in Colossians particularly is the way we keep going. We keep running. So that actually when we do face suffering and we're so tempted to give in, we fix our eyes on Jesus and know one who is totally sympathetic because he's been that path before. And the Jesus who knows about suffering from intense personal experience. And we look to him. We say, Lord Jesus, you know. Help me to keep going. Or for some of us, it will just be that sense of we're going to need to get back to being Jesus-centered. I think that sometimes happens when people find church a difficult experience. Sadly, there are times when churches, not least our own, get things wrong. People don't feel as at home or as well supported as they should be. And in those moments, it's easy to drift away and not persevere. Actually, in those moments, you need to be holding on to, hang on, Jesus is still risen from the dead. He's still worth living for. He's still worth following. We endure as we set our heart and mind on Christ. And it might be that is just the call for some of us. Actually, for some of us, we're Christians, and yet, if we're honest, we're Christians, and yet, bizarrely, and Jesus doesn't center. Loads of other Christian-type stuff is. And actually, the stuff that's often not the motivation to persevere. And Colossians is saying, continue. You please the Lord as you endure. But secondly, and much more briefly, we endure with joy. We endure with joy. So it's interesting the way Colossians 1 works. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father. Now, we'll talk about Thanksgiving next week. That's where we're going. That word joyful, basically, this passage could be translated in two different ways. You could actually attach the joyful to giving thanks, or equally, the joyful could be attached to the endurance and patience. Could translate it either way, and translators make their choice as to which they think it should be attached to. So this could equally say enduring with patience and joy. Either way, we are talking about joy next week, so it's quite clear that a life that pleases the Lord features both keeping going and it features joy. 2 Corinthians 6, Paul talks about his life as that of being of great endurance, sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. That's what life's like, isn't it, for the Christian? We'd be naive if we said there aren't times of deep sorrow and yet rejoicing. Church weekend, last weekend, Richard spent all week, actually, weekend talking about joy, talked to it on the website, so I'm not going to press on this too much. But he was talking about how we consciously seek joy in a God who's full of joy. And we consciously seek joy in his people. In Philippians, Paul praying with joy because of their partnership in the gospel. I think Ben came up with a soundbite during the weekend. There will often be reasons for tears for the Christian. Often reasons for tears, always reasons for joy. Because actually the gospel is always true. God is always good. Jesus, who we're joined to, is always wonderful. And so we have that sense of persevering with joy. Because, of course, joy does help you to endure. Actually, it's much easier keeping going when there is some element of joy going on. And it is this Christ-centeredness that enables it. Say more on this next week as we look at the key between thanksgiving and joy, actually. But as we think about endurance, it isn't just that kind of, well, this is awful, but hey, I'm going to bear it. I have to be honest, as I look occasionally at people running marathons, I just kind of think, how do you manage when you get to mile 21, 22? You won't be surprised I've never quite got to that stage in my running career. It might just be a sort of gritted teeth, but it must just also be the joy, the exhilaration of doing this and a finishing line. And that is the Christian life. It is that endurance with joy. But then lastly, we keep going by enduring in his strength. Enduring in his strength. See, I don't know how you feel about this assault course imagery. You know, maybe for some of us, we do feel daunted. Daunted by what's ahead of us. daunted maybe by the sense perhaps it's going to get harder to live as a Christian, daunted by the state of the world. Well, it might be at the moment you're on the assault course and there's a particularly difficult wall to get over. How do we keep going? You will have noticed that I've not really touched on the beginning of verse 11 yet. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. It is never us alone trying to persevere. Never. Or Paul talking about his ministry. To this end, I strenuously contend, so Paul is making efforts, but with all the energy Christ so powerfully works in me. Do you notice some of the language? Strength, power, might. And when you're talking about those in the context of God, you're not talking about a little amount. Think for a moment of the power of the one who put the sun in its place. The power of the one who put the stars in the sky. The power of the one who raised the Lord Jesus from the dead. That is the power enabling you to keep going as a Christian. That's vaguely good news. That power is what is enabling us to keep going. I don't know about you, I need that. In a moment, we're going to sing these words. I could never keep my hold through life's fearful path, for my love is often cold. He must hold me fast. Now, I'd love to stand here and say, no, that's not true. Actually, my willpower is such that my love for the Lord is always white hot. You know, morning by morning, I wake up, how can I serve the Lord today? Because I love him so much. I'd love to say that was my life story. The reality is, I'm much more like a yo-yo. You know those kind of yo-yos? You know, there's a string and it's desperately trying to get away and suddenly it's yanked back. I don't know, that kind of feels more like the image of my life. A kind of, heart growing cold, and yet somehow the string is still there and it's going to pull you back. I hope that's not just me. We're just held. Almost at times, perhaps in our lives, we've tried to get away from living for Jesus, and yet back we come. Why? Because of his glorious might and power, which means he won't let us go, which means he keeps pulling us back. I remember talking to a friend of mine who'd done an awful lot in trying to not live as a Christian, and he said, I just can't give it up. Much as I want to, I just keep getting yanked back. Because our endurance is strengthened by his power, according to his glorious might. And yet the astonishing thing is this. All the energy to keep going comes from him, and yet still he'll say to us at the end, well done. He's still pleased with our perseverance, even as he provides all the energy for it. Because he's a God who is so gracious and a God who is so kind. I want to talk quite directly because there'll be some here who are at the stage of thinking, I don't know how to keep going. Life is so rubbish for you at the moment. Perhaps temptation is so severe that for you there's just, I just don't know how to keep going. You're so weary. And I simply want to encourage you by saying this, your perseverance is not all down to you. Please don't ever think about your life thinking it's just me trying to work hard. Because your life is always accompanied by his might and accompanied by his power. And he will hold us fast. We endure as we're strengthened by his power and his might. And sometimes the call is simply to press into that. Lord, I can't keep going, but you can keep me going. And that's going to be enough for now. I love the end of the second part of John Bunyan's Pilgrim's Progress. That 17th century book, an image in the first section of Christian making his journey to the celestial city. And the second book, his wife, Christiana, makes the same journey. And the highlights of the second part of the book is actually the last two or three pages. Because you get a series of characters heading through death. Christiana is the first. She's gone through many challenges on her travels, but there are the horses and chariots there to take her to the celestial city. You have sort of courageous characters. Mr. Valiant for Truth is there. But you've also got people who struggled their way through life. Got a character called Mr. Despondency, who's battled through depression all his life, but yet just about has clung to the Lord. Or his daughter, Mrs. Much Afraid, who again has just been fearful all the way through life whilst trying to cling to the Lord. And yet they've got to the end. And you have Mr. Despondency, I think it is, as he goes to his death saying, "Farewell night, welcome day." It's a lovely description, actually, of Christian death, isn't it? Farewell night, welcome day, as the light flashes before his eyes. Or as Mr. Valiant for Truth passes through the waters and the trumpets sound for him on the other side. Or Mrs. Much Afraid, who goes through death and for the first time in her life sings as she arrives. Keep going. That's why we keep going, isn't it? So that the trumpets might sound on the other side. And we hear the voice saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant." Because if the Lord is pleased with our endurance now, which Colossians 1 says he is, then we can be assured that if we endure to the very end, we will hear the "well done." So friends, whatever the assault course feels like at the moment, keep going. Keep going with your eyes fixed on Jesus, setting your heart and mind on him, the one who inspires us to keep running. And keep running knowing you never do it alone. Always, always accompanied by his great power and might until the day when we get to the end and we hear the "well done." Let's pray together. Just a moment of quiet. I wonder what the challenge is for you at the moment. The challenge where you're battling to endure. Just a moment to talk to the Lord about it. Maybe you want to pray, "Lord, I so need your power and your might at the moment." Maybe you just want to say, "Lord Jesus, I've just lost sight of you as being the center of what it is to live as a Christian," and you just want to come back and say, "Lord, I want to fix my eyes on you." Just a moment of quiet, and then I'll pray before we sing. Lord, there are times when we do find it hard to keep going. Perhaps it's different temptations or suffering. Lord, maybe it is we just feel exhausted this morning. Lord, we pray, won't you grant us the strength of your power and might such that we keep running, keep putting one foot in front of the other, until the day when we see you. Lord, I simply want to pray for myself, even I pray for my friends here, Lord, that each of us would run the race to the end, strengthened by the power that raised Christ from the dead and put the stars in the sky. Lord, strengthened by that power, may each one of us run to the end, we pray. For your name's sake, amen.